Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Don't be phony. Be generous. Number one, the exhibition. Blow the trumpets. Number two, the exhortation. Watch what you're doing with your hands. Number three, the examination. Remember, God looks for what's going on in secret. This man was tall and dark and handsome with a beard. Everybody thought he was wonderful. He said he was holy, a pilgrim, a salvationist, a healer. He even prayed for the Tsar's son, and somehow or other, this mystic had power to make the Tsar's son feel a lot better. He was a great exhibitionist, and the people loved him until they found out there is more in the whorehouse and more in the public house, more having sex and more getting drunk than he ever was doing God's work. Eventually, he was murdered. His name, Rasputin. He was a hypocrite. He looked the part. He sounded the part. He said the right things. He did the right things. He had a fanfare just about how holy he really was, when in fact, he really wasn't. I remind you, the Chinese say about hypocrisy, it's honey in the mouth, but it's poison in the heart. I remind you about what the Americans say about hypocrisy. It's hiding the penthouse behind the New York Times. I remind you of what the English say. It's the dirty hands hidden by pure white gloves. Shakespeare called them smiling villains. Oh, they look the part, they sound the part, they go the right places, they do the right things, and they blow a fanfare, and everyone is hoodwinked except the God who looks upon the heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ despised hypocrisy. Here are the scribes, here are the Pharisees, here are the rulers of the Jews, here are the elders, here are those who seemingly are the upstanding members of society. But listen to what Jesus says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Listen to Jesus. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. First, would you clean the inside of the cup and plate, that the outside might be clean also? Listen to Jesus. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you are like whitewashed tombs, with the outward appearance beautiful, but within dead men's bones. You generation of vipers. You brood of snakes. You seem to be what you're not, you see. And the God of heaven sees right through your exhibition style of religion. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ has been exposing just the external. He is more interested, far more interested in the internal. And all our righteousness is only as filthy rags. Jesus knows that. He knows we need a righteousness from God credited to our account, which changes our hearts and changes our desires and changes our will and changes our direction. No phony baloney religion. No keeping up appearances. Here now in chapter 6, he comes and talks about the exhibition. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What a word of warning this is. I'm warning you about the trumpeters. You've seen them. They're scribes and Pharisees who send before them the fanfare of the blowing of the silver trumpet. Hey, folks, everybody around, take note. I am coming to town, or I am coming to the synagogue, and I am coming to do good works. I want you to see how I dress right, how I look right, how I sound right, how I say the right words to the right people at the right time in the right way. I want you to put on display my righteousness. Besides which, I think I've got a suggestion to make. Here's the suggestion. What I'm about to do, I'd like it to be advertised. Get the Jerusalem Journal, buy the front page, and put me on the front page. In fact, if they had radio in those times, or television, put me on the television. So I can display my righteousness. The whole context of this is Jesus is going to talk to Christian people about what the true secret of giving is, what the true secret of praying is, what the true secret of fasting is. And it's dead easy. The secret of giving is secret giving. The secret of praying is secret praying. The secret of fasting is secret fasting. It's doing it in the presence of God with the right motive for his glory, not for the applause or the praise or the backslapping of men, not so that men or women can see just how righteous you appear to be when your motives are utterly selfish. You know, when it came to fasting, the Pharisees, they would put a white mask upon their face. The word is the word from which we get hypocrite, actor, play act, theater, drama. They put on a play. They put on a drama. Look, everybody, just how righteous I really am. Just how good I really am. Just how hard I really work. Just how much I really give. You remember the story we spoke about this morning? When someone comes to the temple and is giving, gets out his checkbook, writes a great big check for £1,000 or whatever it was, 1,000 shekels. He says, hey, folks, look what I'm putting into the treasury. Well, when the widow who's gotten out of vow takes a mite and just secretly puts it in, Jesus notices. Don't do your righteousness before men for their applause. Put up your hand. If you've ever seen the film or television program, Keeping Up Appearances. You have, James. Well done, mate. Hyacinth, bouquet or bucket, whichever way you say it. Who speaks ever so nicely, ever so politely, wants to be seen in public to do always the right thing in the right way at the right time. When Richard is given a dog's life and he screams at them behind their back, she's a different person altogether. Don't be phony. Have a true righteousness, which comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. A righteousness credited to your account, whereby the Holy Spirit gives you a new heart and a new start and a whole new set of desires, whereby you abhor that which Jesus abhors, which is a show-off, an egotistical, look how great I am sort of person. After the exhibition, we've got the exhortation. Hey, listen, says Jesus, I want you to know, if you're making an exhibition, if you're going on display and giving, and you're expecting the applause of men, well, that's all you'll get. One thing's for sure, you won't get the blessing of heaven. Don't you think God can spot a phony? Don't you think God can see through a facade? Don't you think that the authentic, not the synthetic, is what's important to the living God? So we come to this exhortation. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What a strange phrase. It's an exhortation to the people of God. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot said about giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says the Christians ought to give regularly, weekly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know, the Bible says the Christians ought to give generously and secretly and proportionately and with hilarity. God loves a cheerful giver. But you know what else the Bible says? The Bible talks about giving to the poor. You remember the nursery rhyme of the 13th century? Hark, hark, the dogs do bark. The beggars have come to town. Some in rags and some in clogs and one in a velvet gown. When beggars would come to town, pleading, maybe there would be some really wonderful display as the trumpeter went forward. Hey, folks, I'm about to give out some money. Come round and get it. See how good I am. No, says Jesus. If you're going to give to the poor, and believers must give to the poor. You don't believe me? Turn with me then in your Bible. Turn to Psalm 41 and verse 1. Listen to what the psalmist says. Read it with us. Come on. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Listen to Solomon. Turn with me to Proverbs in chapter 19 and verse 17. And listen to this. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. God blesses those who give to the poor. It's like giving to the Lord. It's like lending to the Lord. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13 says. Turn over the page. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. God is certainly interested in believers giving to the poor. Listen to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27, where it says, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Listen to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 7. A righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. Hey, listen to the royal prophet, to the regal prophet, to the Churchill of the Old Testament. Listen to Isaiah as God speaks directly through his mouthpiece and says this about fasting in the land. Is this not the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him? And not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom as the noonday. God has promised to bless those who bless the poor. Hasn't he? Did you know that almost every philanthropic event that took place, which began work amongst children who were poor or needy, amongst the poor, began by Christians? Did you know that? Amazing. Spurgeon, Bernardo, these people who gave generously. Muller Holmes, Christians who took their responsibility to the poor seriously. And just in case you're in doubt, turn to me to the book of James. Remember, James is speaking. He wants to see actions which speak far louder than words. He says, faith without works is dead. Okay? We're not saved by works, that's for sure. We're saved by grace, through faith. By grace alone, through faith alone. But faith without works is dead. My brothers, show no partiality, chapter 2, as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over here or sit down at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Can you picture the scene? Fella arrives in the car park in a Lamborghini, comes out in a Savile Row suit, and he's dead posh and dead smart. He looks, hey, we know him. The bank manager knows he's got £1 million in the bank. Hey, welcome. Come on in, take the front seat. Hey, we say to all the ushers, make sure you make him welcome. Make sure you shake him by the hand. Get all the people, say to them quietly, go up to him, say hello, make sure he's with us. And then the man who's shabby and a down and out and a bit dirty and has gotten out of outcomes, you know, you sit there. Make sure you don't disturb anyone. Make sure you don't sit next to anybody because you stink. God sees right through it. So he gives this exhortation. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What does he mean? Well, when you're giving to the poor, you're walking along, make it so quick that you give, so natural that you give, so spontaneous that you give, so generous that you give, you don't even think about it. You're giving it. And you know what happens when you don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? You know what you can't do? You can't give yourself a round of applause. That's for sure. You do it. You give. Give. And it will be given to you. Pressed down. Running over. Give. There was a man, some thought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. The Old Testament ritual. The Old Testament ceremony. That's all gone. And the Old Testament legalism. Jesus came to fulfill the law in every jot and every tittle, but he instituted a new covenant. It's a covenant of the heart. And it shouldn't be the last thing that's converted, our pocket. It should be the first thing that's converted. That's the exhortation. Don't be phony. Be generous. And then we have the examination. So that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In the coming weeks, here's the man. He's standing on the street corner. And he's lifting up his hands to pray. And he's saying these very profound theological words. So everybody who walks past says, wow, listen to him pray. No, the secret of praying is secret praying. Here's another one, wants to fast, he paints his face. No, the secret of fasting is secret fasting. And here's the secret of giving. Let me ask you something. Who is it that knows the secrets of all of our hearts? God. He does. He's the one who examines the heart. We saw that in the series of David. Saul's head and shoulders above everybody. David's a shepherd in the field. He's got mud all over his wellies. His shirt's hanging out. His catapult in his belt. He stinks of sheep dung. And he's out in the field. Nobody wants him to be the king, but God says, I do not look on the outward appearance. Tall Saul, Saul's tall and strong and brave. Listen, he's disobedient in his heart. What's more, he's rebellious. What's more, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and I have said he is disqualified. I do not look on the outward appearance. This man is the man after my own heart. This man after God's own heart will make horrendous mistakes. But in his heart, he knew and loved God. So God is examining what we give. Our intentions. Our motives. Can I just remind you of something, please? God does not need your money. Can I remind you, before money was ever invented, God made and ran the universe. He doesn't need your money. If you give, it's a blessing to your own soul. And if you give to the poor, it's a blessing to your own soul. God doesn't need your money. And listen, don't give to this church or to this pastor or to this minister. No, give to the Lord. He sees the secrets. He knows the secrets of your heart. He knows if you're doing this with the right motive, with the right intention, with the right heart. Because God does not look upon the outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. Some years ago, I went to Khartoum in the Sudan. Honestly, I've never seen poverty like it. But it reminded me of the general of Khartoum. And he was a Christian man. And he received lots of accolades and had lots of gold. But he heard that in Manchester, as well as he was generous to the poor in Khartoum, but in Manchester he heard there was a real amount of poverty. When he died, they looked for his gold. They couldn't find it. He'd sent it to a mint to be melted down and used for the poor. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I love the words of the hymn writer. Come to my heart, O thou wonderful love. Come and abide. Lift me above envy, falsehood, pride. Seeking to be lowly and humble, a learner of thee. He who was rich beyond all splendor for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Let's follow the example of Jesus, not the example, the bad example of the Pharisee or the tendency of our own human hearts. Don't be phony. Be generous. Don't be phony. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you lowly and humble and generous and a learner of Jesus. Let's stand and sing.